This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com. This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. Let's start 2026 with a hard truth. There's no perfect time to build the future you secretly dream of, and there's no time to waste. With support from a Talkspace therapist, you can make this the year you bravely go out and grab what you need from life, whether that's outer rewards or inner peace. Just go to Talkspace.com to be matched with a licensed online therapist. You can start messaging with your therapist right away and schedule live virtual sessions over video, audio, or chat. Your Talkspace therapist can help you create personalized strategies for making the changes and achieving the goals most important to you. Talkspace accepts most insurance with an average copay of $15, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com and save $80 with code SPACE80. That's SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Agbabola, agbabola. How much is money?
It's nothing.
Balling, balling.
Alagba.
Premium or nothing.
Them or nothing.
Now you know.
Now you know.
Now you know.
Now you know.
Ever ever get boo.
Welcome back to the couch.
Woo-hoo.
Hi, guys.
Hey.
We have a familiar returning guest.
Go, yeah. DJ.
DJ.
You must have loved us so much that you decided to return. I love that for us. We are going to actually start off with mindfulness. So everyone get themselves into their mindfulness position. Your back is straight, but not rigid. Your feet are planted on the ground or in a position that makes you feel comfortable yet alert. I'd like you to take a nice calming breath in through your nose and out of your mouth. Let's do that together now. I just want you to take note of how your body feels after that exhale. Notice what parts of you are really sinking into your chair. Notice how your back feels, either leaning up against your chair or just suspended in air. Notice how your feet sink deeper to the ground, how your legs sink further into the position that you're in. And if your shoulders are a little tight, go ahead and just release them and sink further into your chair. That's nice, just like that. I want you to just notice what you are doing right now in this moment. Notice the stillness and the nothing that you're doing. Notice the quiet that is happening outside of you. It might be happening in you. I want you to embrace that. Open yourself to that. Acknowledge what's happening in this moment. Nothing. Sink further into that nothing. No demands are being placed on you. You're not responsible for anything or anyone. You could just be. Allow yourself to just be. And with that, let's take a deep breath and sink further. I'm going to invite you to embrace yourself, just gently wrap yourself up in a nice hug. Allow yourself to experience this care, this kindness, this embrace. You can tighten or loosen to whatever feels good for you right now. Notice how this position changes the way that you breathe, changes how you relate to yourself. Pay attention to how your muscles bunch up when you're embracing, parts of you that are tense as you give yourself this kindness. In this moment, we recognize not all tension is bad. Not all pressure comes with dread. Let's inhale, and on the exhale, go ahead and release that embrace. Thank you for practicing with me, and gently bring yourself back into the space.
Well.
All right, now. How was that?
It was peace. It was comforting. I noticed every time I was kind of like taken away by like external like sounds, I was able to bring myself back to the idea of just sinking into me, and kind of like the embrace felt good. Yeah. I noticed I started rocking, and then there was like a song that kind of came in my head while I was rocking. But yeah, it felt very light and just kind.
Yeah, you felt that like kindness kind of like channeling throughout your body from the beginning. And did you feel like it got more intense, or you felt closer to it with the embrace?
I think I just kind of sunk in more into it, where I was just like, oh, just like noticing the temperature of my skin. There was like a little cool temperature, and just really noticing my body. And I think I had the thought around like embracing how my body's feeling and looking. So that thought came, and I'm like, okay, this was good.
Yeah. Thanks, Joy.
I had an interesting experience today. I don't really do a lot of like group mindfulness in person. So I almost felt like it was almost like I could feel y'all's energy.
That empath.
Felt very much like it helped me stay grounded. I could kind of feel that you all were settled. So like even when I started to maybe feel a little bit of an urge to like move around or feel anxious, almost felt like this stay still kind of energy for you all. And so I had thoughts about that, like, wow, I don't really do a lot of mindfulness in a group in person where I can feel that connection. And I had like a lot of future thoughts about like, how can I make that happen more, and how can I invite that more into my space, into my practices.
It seems like you like found that to be so pleasant that you were trying to plan on ways to kind of get back in contact with that again, or how to you know, relive that experience again.
Definitely.
Okay. So it was comforting. It was enjoyable. It was something that you wanted to replicate, that kind of experience of, I guess, like that symbiotic relationship that we all shared of just being grounded.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's great. DJ, what was it like?
I enjoyed it thoroughly. Mm-hmm. It was crazy because the first thing that I felt when you kind of took us under into just the space, right, of nothingness almost, it was like freedom came to me. Like, just feels so free.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And even at moments when my mind started to wander, you helped bring us back to ourselves. And I remember just like just being when I came back to from exploring my mind for a second. It was like squirrel, right? Like
yeah. Like
I heard birds chirping and I was like, it's crazy. Mm. Right. So it's almost like you're just
hear that actually.
I was like tapped in. Yeah. But I really loved the embrace. I've never really done that before in a meditation or a mindfulness exercise. Mm-hmm. So that was actually cool to experience and feel like, oh, this actually feels good.
That can be so powerful.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. Let's start 2026 with a hard truth. There's no perfect time to build the future you secretly dream of, and there's no time to waste. With support from a Talkspace therapist, you can make this the year you bravely go out and grab what you need from life, whether that's outer rewards or inner peace. Just go to Talkspace.com to be matched with a licensed online therapist. You can start messaging with your therapist right away and schedule live virtual sessions over video, audio, or chat. Your Talkspace therapist can help you create personalized strategies for making the changes and achieving the goals most important to you. Talkspace accepts most insurance with an average copay of $15, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com and save $80 with code SPACE80. That's SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
So thank you for that.
I'm glad that I was able to get you in contact with that kind of new way of like hugging, embracing like yourself. Because hugging, when other people give us it, like, you know, releases dopamine and serotonin and all like those feel goods, right? Yeah. We don't necessarily like give that to ourselves. Mm-hmm. Like, and it's just as easy as wrapping yourself up and you know, adding a bit of pressure. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think I added the thing of like, tension and pressure doesn't always have to be bad. It doesn't always have to be like this prerequisite to doom, right? Like it can be this very like warm and very kind gift that you give to yourself. I love that all of you guys noticed that like the mind gave you thoughts, like because this is new, this is different, it's been a while since you've done it before. All of you guys noticed the brain wanting to interact with that novelty and allowing that to happen while also just bringing yourself back to like this moment and just the embrace, the sensation, my voice, like whatever it was, because that just shows like our moments are in constant flow, right? Like thoughts, feelings, sensations, sounds, birds, you know, all these different things. And we don't have to be in primary control of those things. We just choose what we come back to. And all of you guys were able and willing to come back. So I appreciate that.
You did.
Thank you for us.
For you.
It was nice, actually, because right before I was kind of going back in my head around like what type of mindfulness practice that I wanted to kind of do today. Mm-hmm. And I started off like most of my mindfulness practices on a particular path. And then I started doing some things. It ends up working out. So it was I felt like grounded and confident. I felt like I was being led in the mindfulness. Like it was just naturally coming out the ways in which that I was kind of like guiding you guys. And I just went with that, which felt nice.
It seems like we all had like an authentic experience. Open. Really connected.
Very much so.
Good deal.
So, so now let's talk a little bit about what our topic is going to be.
Ah, the Faja.
Ooh.
The Faja wound. As it will be Father's Day.
I can read our confessions. We ready?
Oh, yes, please.
Male, 19, female, wondering if I have... Sorry, Let me start that over. 19-year-old female wondering if I have daddy issues. Growing up, my dad had intense anger issues, often yelling in ways that scared me. He had never been physically abusive, but he refuses therapy and isn't affectionate. He rarely hugs me or shows warmth, which hurts. I sometimes feel more like his friend than his daughter, and I get jealous when he prioritizes my cousins over me. I've always been attracted to older men since I was 13. I'm not interested in dating men my age, only men that are 3 to 15 years older than me. I used to think it was just because teen boys are immature, but now I'm wondering if my preferences and feelings towards my dad are connected. So, do I have daddy issues? Any insights or advice would be helpful. Thanks for reading.
Silence, guys.
So, you know, it's always this thing around like daddy issues being associated with like a negative connotation or like it's a problem, right? Mm-hmm. When really I view any parental issues as an experience, mm-hmm. right, that we have based on our upbringing. And also, you know, we did an episode on attachment style, but also realizing that our first human interaction are with our caregivers, whoever those caregivers are. So they do impact how we view people, how we view relationships, how we interact with relationships. And I do think fathers have shown to play such an integral part in children's life, not just in a son's life, but also in a daughter's life is very mm-hmm. impactful. Mm-hmm. So to answer her question, I think you have an experience with your dad around the fact that you are yearning a particular connection with your dad. And also, and acknowledging that you didn't get that connection. And it's so normal for you to seek it other places. Yeah. So it would make sense that you would be attracted to older men, older peers, and mm-hmm. things like that. Mm-hmm. And also, that doesn't equate to you having a problem, but also that tells me that you're still yearning for that connection.
Yeah.
You know,
I also think that, to your point, daddy issues are always connected to women. I hardly hear people say daddy issues in terms of like a reprimand or a like, a jab towards a man.
Yeah.
They'll say men have mommy issues because right. maybe it is that heteronormative type of thing.
Yeah.
But I've always noticed, at least around me, that they'll say, oh, you have daddy issues to women when they show up in a particular way, when mm-hmm. they're not as soft or they're not as, I think, appeasing or maybe vulnerable in certain mm-hmm. ways, right? So I've seen it in that way. I also believe, agree with what you said. Mm-hmm. There's a wound there that started off from an inconsistency, mm-hmm. A deficit in the care that your father gave to
yep.
you from an early age.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And she talks about that in different ways, that the fact that there's a friendship mm-hmm. instead of that kind of like parent to child
relationship,
care, that protection, yeah. that support, mm-hmm. You know, when friends, they're on an equal level versus
right.
when parents are at least in a secure space, mm-hmm. are meant to be responsible for their kids' interest,
yeah.
Well-being physically and emotionally and mentally. Mm-hmm. But when you're friends, you are responsible for each other. You are placed on the same level of like need. Mm-hmm. And that's not usually helpful
yeah.
in developing a strong sense of like identity and not looking to cater
security,
to somebody else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
What do you
think? A lot of gems here. A lot of gems. Uh-huh. So, I want to piggyback off of what you mentioned about, you know, the conversation around daddy issues, and typically you hear it from the female perspective.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like the title just changes, but it's still there even with men.
Yeah. Mm.
Especially.
I was going to say agree.
Yeah. Men from our generation.
Yes.
Let's say, I don't know, 70s, 80s, 90s and onward. Mm-hmm. you know, a lot of the fathers weren't in the home.
Mm-hmm.
If they were, they weren't present.
Mm-hmm.
They may have not really been connected with their own
emotions.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
And so,
yeah.
You know, when you have that large absence in your development as a man, which mm-hmm. is super integral.
Sure.
Yeah. It can create issues for sure. And so, you know, honestly, a lot of people that I know of, friends that I've had, their dad was like minimally in their lives,
mm-hmm.
if at all, or if they even knew him. Mm-hmm. You know, that was the
male or female or both.
I would say also I'm speaking specifically to the male perspective, but okay, cool. Also females as well.
Yeah. Because you know, I get that from my clients and also from men I've dated in the past,
mm-hmm.
where I know you said it's like mostly from the
female, label it in
as
terms
a female.
Of that,
yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's both and to David's point around like I've had men who their identity is trying to make up for the absence of their dad.
Yes.
Connection that they desired. So the dad might have, to David's point, been in the home but been absent emotionally and physically,
mm-hmm.
and trying to not live up to that and or end up modeling that.
Yeah. I think that's an interesting point too, because oftentimes people aren't really aware of it. I think that we see less of the language being used, but it's certainly there for our men.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it's certainly there. Yeah. I think the language is missing. Patterns. And there's also this kind of like energy of you can't miss what you haven't had or haven't experienced, which is really dangerous because you do miss it. You very much miss it and start to kind of shape your own behavior
or place those demands on your mom. And I think that's also then where the mommy issues, that's where the mommy issue term comes
from.
Right.
Yeah.
It's just a parent issue.
Yeah.
Like, it is an emotional wound issue.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
yeah.
And I think it goes back to one, I think our question that we had was, what does it mean when we talk about father wounds?
Yeah.
And I think, mm-hmm. you know, DJ already brought it up when he was saying that, like, when your parent, your father, is emotionally absent, right?
Yeah.
Like, they could physically be there.
Right.
Right? You come from a two-parent home. Yep. I know I came from a two-parent home.
Yeah.
But the access to my dad's emotional availability
mm-hmm.
was not there.
Yeah,
right.
Sure.
And mind you, a lot of fathers, it's not there because that's not a role that they're taught is their responsibility mm-hmm. to carry. It's the mom that's supposed to be the caregiver of the emotions.
But if you also look at what the confession person said, is that it's also hard when you see your father be a certain way with other people's children and not really give that back to you.
Yes.
Because she saw
Your dad knows how to be an uncle. And that's it. Like, your dad knows how to be uncle. Mm-hmm. Perhaps your dad doesn't know how to be a dad.
And then would be uncle also don't require so much of an emotional
obligation.
Commitment. Right?
Exactly.
Compared to like
dealing in and out.
Yeah.
I was gonna say the longevity, right?
Yeah. I'm not here with
and my role is also very like consistent and finite in the fact that mm-hmm. I'm either providing the gifts, I'm the fun, you know, so that's mm-hmm. a little bit simpler and a little bit easier to carry than carrying the load of emotionally raising and mm-hmm. being there for a child.
Yeah.
I also think, and David, please, DJ, like, really correct me. I also think it's a generational and cultural thing around the fact that men are taught to really hold certain titles and spaces that does not really embrace and or promote emotional connection mm-hmm. and also the need of, for them, present is provision.
Yeah.
Present is not being present in the room, playing, asking about your feeling, why you upset. And they do. But if they ask, they said, you know, you say, oh, I'm just sad or I'm mad at mom. It's like, okay, well, you'll be fine. And you feel like dismissed, not like, what can I do? How can I show up for you?
Yeah.
So I also think that, you know, as this is like Father's Day month, it's like men are not celebrated in as much in their nurturing. It's not promoted as much in their nurturing. So it's kind of hard to tap into a space because a lot of men I work with, and I say, you could tap into your femininity. They're like, well, I'm not gay. You don't really have nothing to do with being gay. It's just simple fact that men do actually have natural nurturing characteristic biologically in them that is not promoted
into.
Yeah,
1,000%.
Yeah,
yeah. Like the idea of just your job and your role is to provide and protect.
Yeah,
right. And so provide means the means to have food on the table.
Yeah,
and shelter in the home. Mm-hmm. Right?
Physical protect. Dealing is from the physical aspect. Yeah,
the safety of it. You know,
yes.
If someone breaks into the home, I'm gonna step up and make sure we're good. I got the Glock, whatever we need. Mm-hmm. You know, somebody disrespects me, I'm gonna put hands on them.
Mm-hmm.
But like anything outside of that,
right?
So it's like we're hands
it's
off.
Not
leave me alone. You go to your mother.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? And that's completely the opposite of what we need in the human experience.
Like, I totally agree.
We are well-rounded beings and individuals who are, you know, from a soul level, are expansive, right?
Mm-hmm.
But
exactly.
By sticking to these rules of like provide and protect only, like you're stopping yourself from living a fulfilling life.
Right. Yes.
And
right.
If you
talk
look
about
at the
that.
Men that you're talking about, that have these roles, right? They look absolutely miserable.
Yeah, you're not living a full, fruitful life.
Yeah.
Like, think about these men that we look that we're talking about here.
Yeah.
Like you look at, they're always dead serious. They don't joke. They don't laugh. They don't. There's
take everything just, personal.
Yeah,
everything
stress.
Is. They're ready to like.
You
go
know what
off.
I'm saying?
They're always
Yeah, you're not being
it's like
Jason.
A taking time bomb.
Jason Williams talks Wilson. He's pretty dope. He's on IG. Y'all should check him out.
Uh-huh.
He talks about being a comprehensive man, and it's about doing all the things. Yes, I'm a provider and a protector. And a lover. And
yes.
A
yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because you have to do it all.
Tap into that part
that.
Of
you know what I mean?
For
but
sure.
By shutting those things off, by shutting off your inner divine feminine, you're locking off what's potentially powerful for you.
Exactly.
You know? I think about friends and people in my life who have, you know, fathers in their lives, but they're not present.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, looking at it from a spiritual perspective and empathic or maybe my own claircognizant ability is like there's a knowing that I understand through emotions, right? There's a power there in that. But, you know, there's a lot of men who have daughters and don't have great relationships with their daughters.
Yeah.
And it's like, yo, you know, you ever seen this happen
looking
where like,
some,
I'm
right
trying
now.
So hard to have a boy, right?
Yes.
They'll have like 3, 4, 5 girls. And it's just like,
and not invest.
That's
in
the universe.
It.
That's God trying to tell you to
you
get
to
in
up.
Line with your femininity.
Yes,
you need that
yes,
energy
yes.
to balance the overly masculine presence that you have, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, there's nothing wrong with being in tap with your emotions. It's your superpower.
Yeah. Yes.
That's how you know what you're in alignment with and what you're not in alignment
exactly.
with.
I appreciate you for and, saying that.
You feel me?
Yeah.
And it's just like, it just annoys me so much that we're still in these old, outdated, like, mentalities.
For sure.
But I think the more conversation is needed, right?
Mm-hmm.
More conversation, like, man to man. Because I think that sometimes hearing it from us, it feels more like an attack.
Yeah.
Or like a... see, I'm not doing something right, or I'm not meeting the mark.
Yeah.
Versus, like when your homeboy is
having like a human interaction,
serious with you, calling you out in a way that 100%. Is like, this is a safe space. We love and care about each other, but you need to tighten up. Like,
you know, I will have like a moment of disclosure around my father and I relationship is a confusing one for me because for the simple fact I actually grew up with a dad who was actually a hands-on dad. So my dad was the one who was playing whatever game, whether it's Barbie, doing the teacups, doing all of that. And he was funny, he was making the jokes and all of that. And my mom was actually like the disciplinary, the serious one and things like that. And when their relationship kind of went awry, you know, my dad just completely like left.
Yeah.
And just didn't, in that relationship between him and I, just it was confusing to me. And I remember being so angry at my mom and blaming her for his absence.
Yeah.
And that's where my abandonment issues around not having, for the longest time, even in my dating, I wanted to hurt. My intentions was like, you're not going to get close to me as a man because you're going to leave. So let me just use you and dispose of you before
you get
rid of me.
Yeah.
Because it's not, you know, it wasn't going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I carried that for so long. It wasn't until like, you know, I was 20 and I was in this healthy relationship. I didn't know what was healthy at that time.
Yeah.
And I remember just like really putting this person through a hard time.
Yeah.
And then I remember them saying like, look, I'm here and I'm here for you, and literally genuinely wanted to protect me and wanted to be with me, but I couldn't receive it. And it really took him as like, I can't convince you of that. Mm-hmm. And that was the first time I kind of sought counseling to do the work around that, because my dad will come. I remember my dad coming for my like high school graduation. He got into a fight with my mom and took the first flight back out.
And left. And right. left.
So fuck your graduation.
So it wasn't like, you didn't come for me.
Yeah. Right.
You came for my mom, but I didn't matter. And I remember that was a thing for me.
Yeah.
And now my relationship with my dad, I had to radically accept that my dad is who he is, and that when it comes to being a provider, but being with these children, he can be, but it comes, it's a barter system,
sure.
like yeah, give and take. And I stopped judging him for it. That's how him and I can have this relationship. But I also noticed that from a spiritual standpoint, that God also placed other men in my life I didn't realize it until it was like my 20s, to kind of fulfill the other emotional part of me mm-hmm. that he didn't fulfill.
But I want to back up a little bit, because you preached a word right there, a journey of how yeah. you can start in a very kind of like warm, you
secure.
Felt very,
yeah.
what's it called, secure. And then to be ripped from you
literally.
In an abrupt way with no explanation,
yeah.
with no foreshadowing
yeah.
on your side. And then to be left with confusion and anger at mm-hmm. this thing that felt so consistent,
mm-hmm.
right, to you.
Mm-hmm.
And then you, of course, as a child, trying to figure out where to place the blame or try
exactly.
to figure out what's going on. It did then kind of stick with you throughout like your dating
yeah, I mean,
life.
It
so it's like, that is how someone who's absent, emotionally unavailable, or an abusive father can affect somebody's like development. Like that is
and
like,
I didn't
perfect
know that
example.
My father was also being emotionally abusive.
Of course.
So that's the part that wasn't there. You know, because people talk about like, I wasn't beaten, there was no physical thing, but...
But your dad was
my dad
very
was to myself, to my mom,
in the ways
and then,
in which
the
money,
exactly.
he was available to you
he was
emotionally.
Exactly.
That's what emotionally abusive
and
like,
people
looks
don't
like.
Know that.
Is that yeah. Because I know for me, like... One of the questions is like, it can lead to a child having problems with bonding and trust.
Yes.
Like you don't know how to trust your interactions and your relationships
yeah.
with
like
other people, the opposite
mm-hmm.
sex,
even
friends, the
though,
same
like
sex
this.
Friends.
Yeah.
Like I also like you can develop low self-esteem and an anxiety mm-hmm. around being worried about, am I enough? Is there
yes.
something wrong with me that my father shows up in this
yeah.
particular way, is not giving me this thing that I know I crave,
yeah.
but he's kind of showing up in a way that I shouldn't be wanting this thing. So
yeah.
there's maybe something that I'm lacking that mm-hmm. I'm trying to put this on him that should
mm-hmm.
be in me.
Yeah.
So it definitely made me very like super like independent. Like I was
yeah.
very self-reliant. I did not want to chance the possibility that someone would disappoint me and
yeah.
not be there
mm-hmm.
for me. I
mm-hmm.
didn't want to come in contact with the very, like, I would say visceral experience of not getting something that I need
mm-hmm.
met. It
yes.
was such a, like, devastating experience to
mm-hmm.
put myself out there and be like, why did you do that? You
yeah.
knew. You
yeah,
knew they
you
was
knew
about
this
to
was
do that
happen.
For you. And
yeah.
then you just sit there
yeah.
cycling in like both shame and guilt about
yeah.
even opening yourself up to somebody like that.
And yeah. taking rejection in a very deep, when you couldn't protect yourself from rejection, from when you receive it from others, you internalize
so
it so deeply around punishing yourself. How did I let this happen?
Mm-hmm.
Why did I let this happen to me?
Yes.
Type thing.
Can I say something real quick?
Please. You shall see.
So this is interesting. I love that the conversation went this way. Because I think like a lot of this is what you guys are describing is what the ego does
yeah.
when these interactions or stimuluses
sure.
come into the picture of your existence, right? You begin to internalize things that aren't really your things. You
yeah.
know what I'm saying?
Like, yes.
Someone else's emotional availability or not is not yours to own.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
And I had to learn that.
The ego yeah. then gets involved trying to protect you, and it says, mm-hmm. I need to be, you know, hyper independent because
yes.
I can't ever depend on anyone.
Yes.
Look at what the past has said
exactly.
about this particular
yeah.
thing, right?
Yeah.
And it's just like, that's not necessarily truth. It may be
right.
something you experience, right? But not everyone is going to show up like that.
Yeah.
Like,
exactly.
in reality, right? Like, you're going to get a mixed bag of things. There's going to be people that are going to have your back and ride or die for you, and you didn't know them from a can of paint, right? Like a stranger steps in the most dire moment of your life, and you're like, yo, you've done more for me than, you know, some of my best friends are willing.
That could be such a mindfuck.
And you know, there's people that are close to you that will betray you, but this is just all a part of life. But the I think the most important thing to remember and to focus on is that anything outside of you, you aren't supposed to depend on, right? Because that is codependency, right? Yes. So whether that's love, whatever, right? It needs to come from within you first, right?
Me too.
There is no security outside of you, right? Like even if you met your ideal partner, right? Like they can pass away. You know what I mean? Like nothing is here forever. Our parents are here, and one minute, the next minute, friends are here. You know what I'm saying? The job that you love.
Right.
Like anything could happen at any given time. Even just walking, you can get into an accident, God forbid. You get in an accident tomorrow and then you're no longer walking anymore. You love to run every day. Like these things that you put your identity into can all be taken away from you at any given moment. But what can stay with you and what is consistent, what is sustainable, is the love that you have for yourself.
Yes.
Right?
I love that.
We live in this world where everything is about the external, and we're so focused on the outside, but we don't understand that the ego's job, yes, it's to protect us and to process information for us, right? But we give it too much responsibility. When we become adults, and this is, sorry, I'm going to go a little bit off the bend here, but we're here. So I think that a part of the problem that we have as human beings is that we've gotten away from the rite of passages, kind of like ceremonies and understandings, right? There was a time in human history when you went through in your adolescent years a rite of passage from being a child into adulthood, right? Some of that still exists today, but nowhere near where it was traditionally.
Right?
So you would have to go, you know, out in the jungle somewhere for a couple of days on your own after learning skills to learn how to like survive on your thrive and function on your own, right? Like those things are all gone. We don't have like the life skills that
that's
we used
real.
To.
That's so real. So, because that would build security in you, right? It's that, you know, the rite of passage, you taught me the things. Now I'm putting you
out. But there's a protocol and there's a process in place because of the ritual, right? Like they didn't just throw you into the woods when you turned a certain age. You had to be taught a certain amount of things in order to then be fit to then do this test that really just kind of like was building your confidence.
But in our experience now, we don't have that, right?
We go to school, we
learn how to do algebra and shit that we're never using again most of the time, right? But like we're not taught life skills. The we're not taught experience. How to deal with emotions. You feel what I'm saying? And so we have to understand that like we aren't well equipped until you take your own power back and go on this journey after bumping your head, after attracting certain experiences. Then you realize, oh shit, I gotta dive into myself.
Because, I love that you brought that up. I love that so much because I think that one thing that has been difficult for me in recognizing that I had experienced father wounds, like once I got to that place of understanding, I had to detach, which is what you're kind of talking about, like detaching from this idea that like these things are happening because of me.
Right.
And really, they're more so happening because of my dad's lack of skills. He didn't learn those things, so he cannot provide that to me. And there were some points in his life where he was also not learning either, like whether that was intentional or just not having access to the information. And so my experience with him was really just a byproduct of what was going on and not necessarily a me thing. But it feels very personal in the moment. It is also very painful and sometimes difficult even to discuss. I think our generation is really the first that is like really taking a deep dive and look into like, hey, this is fucked up. Like, we need to learn some different ways of like interacting with each other. We need to teach each other. We need to learn different things. And so I think that is really, that has been difficult for our parents' just generation around accountability.
Yes.
Right. Because no parent wants to be like, yeah, I fucked my kids up. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Right. I did something that will have a long lasting effect. Because I mean, like, even to the question that you said of like, when did you find out that you were carrying like your high school, I'm sorry,
my
your
father wound.
Father wound. You answered it. I know, Jay, you were talking about when you realized it was like when you got into relationships.
Yeah.
Men. Mine was definitely in high school. And it's till now that I'm still noticing that wound is very present, like in with me at the moment, right? Especially when I started like playing like sports, right? Like my dad was very like integral in like the sports world with me, right? Like it was very much connected to like if I performed well, that would
So that was y'all's thing, right?
That would definitely sweeten and increase the the positive experience that he had, and so that would definitely kind of like showcase onto me if I did not perform in a way that he felt was up to par, that would then lead to the anxiety of like not performing well, not being enough for someone else's expectations. Like I was a very free-spirited kid, and then I started to like experience low self-esteem. Like I'm in a very extroverted person. I'm talking, I'm dancing, I'm doing all the things. But then interactions with like my dad and like other things that are happening in like my milestone years of elementary and middle school started to like thwart and like warp the ways that I like saw myself. And a lot of things were happening in my home before I got into high school. And my dad like prides himself in like an authoritarian parenting style. So where respect, obedience, and performing well are expected. Like it's not asked. You're expected to show up that way. And so my identity was greatly affected by this. Like I started conforming to his vision for my life, right? I need to be this extraordinary person. I need to be the smartest individual. I need to be the most modest, and I need to be this kind of woman, you know, because certain comments that he would make about how women are supposed to be, maybe even about my mother or even about other people outside, started to be like little seeds
that's how I started to, like,
oh, this is how I need to be. I can't be like this. And so I definitely developed a lot of shame, not guilt, shame about like how I'm supposed to be out in the world, what I'm supposed to say, how I'm supposed to present myself. And so that's when I realized that my wound from my father was deep, and I also carry a lot of anger. I'm a very angry person at certain times.
So, you know, DJ, thank you for saying that around what I had to come to terms with and what I teach clients who have parental conflict with themselves is to the point that you make, is that before they were my parent, they were human. And reminding myself that they are human who's actually learning how to do this life and trying to teach me, and what they're teaching me may not be a healthy and or effective way.
They're teaching you what they know.
What they, exactly.
And, they don't know
and
shit.
To the point. It's based off the knowledge that they know. And I think once we humanize our parents or caregivers, then we can really work from a place of openness and forgiveness of self. And that forgiveness of self, to the point that DJ was making, is like detaching their story from my story and my experience. It doesn't devalue me or devalues them. It's saying, now that you've had this set of experience, really, like, how did that affect you? For me, it was around, like, how did this affect me? And also, you know, obviously, I waited to kind of, like, get married, but it wasn't until I told my husband earlier, like, I don't know if it was this year or like late last year, around the fact that you are constant, you are secure. Like, I'm sorry, I feel really safe in this, and really understanding, like, oh, Jay, you gave yourself permission to be safe. You gave yourself permission to let go, and it involved a way of loving a person. Not just how he shows up for me, but the fact that, you know, my husband is human and he's consistent with who he is, which makes me be consistent with who I am and not having to like change myself to fit him, vice versa. And I think that moment of like, I'm trying not to get emotional because it's not embarrassing, but like loving someone, loving him is so easy and he makes it easy because loving me has become easy. And that's,
and you need that. I think that's really powerful and very similar to my own experience. I think that I just can't engage.
We are fiance. She's a fiance. She's a fiance for those who don't.
But like being in a relationship with someone that I can rely on and trust has been overwhelming. It's been a lot of like me also having to check myself and check into what is coming up. I think the thing that my father wounds did to me, what made it really hard for me to trust people, to trust that I could rely on. And I have a partner who is very reliable. So it's been a lot of like tension around like, okay, what's coming up for you right now? If this person does something for you, like what's coming up for you about feeling like you need to pay her back or you need to like do something for her? And and like Jasmine being like, just calm down. Like I'm just here. I'm present. It's been so overwhelming. But like something that I've been feeling like I've been waiting on. I'm like, finally.
But that's it, right? It's that safety. You feel like you've been waiting until you realize you can give it to yourself.
But that was the part, you know, I think I had to do a lot of my own work before getting to this point. I definitely had to like know me and know what I was looking for. I think prior to us being together, I was really like blowing in the wind.
Because me and my husband, we would get into like conflicts that are minor. And Stephanie probably know this more because I've become her. I'd be thinking like, this man is about to leave. Like, he is going to leave. Just be prepared. We walked out. And he looked at me like, where am I going? Like, he literally used to say these things to me. Where am I going? I made a commitment to you. And even hearing him saying it, I still didn't fully lean in or trust it. You know, until
being dependent on someone is like, you give up your power when you do that. You give up control and the, like, ability to direct where things go. And when you come from a place where it was unstable and you were never really given any heads up that things were going to change, and it did. Like, I think one of the things that you guys both said you worked on yourself, and we're forgetting that your partners showed up in a certain way. That allowed you to continue to open the door of like allowance to yourself, because you can do a lot of work and the people that you have around you also has roadblocks to do that don't allow you to fully open your wings way.
I'm going to expand your thought. It feels like dependency feels like giving up a power. It's actually not giving up anything. You didn't lose or give in to power. I've learned that my my power within me is still within me. The dependency opened my trust. So it has nothing to do, I had to learn that it had nothing to do with giving up anything or lean into my power. It learned that you are learning to trust you. And trusting me allow me to trust others. And that's the dependency part.
Sorry, I have so much to say on this stuff. So this, first of all, what we're talking about right now, I know we're talking about father wounds. It's all connected, right? Like, this is the power of relationships. You didn't come here in this human experience to be alone. You know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of us, sometimes we might avoid relationships and connecting with others. But when you do that, you're avoiding the medicine of which allows you to get to know you on a truly deeper and like intimate level.
Getting to know me every day. Like, you know what I'm saying? It never stops because you are forever changing. So
and
keep going.
Listen. And so, you know, I also want to talk about surrender, right? Like, this is so powerful. I'm actually reading a book or rereading a book about surrender and the magic of it. And it's just like, when you release control, we think that there's safety in controlling the scenarios in a situation and trying to mitigate loss as much as possible. That is the worst thing that you can do. It doesn't mean that you have irresponsible behavior, right? Like, you do need to be in touch with yourself enough and love yourself enough, right? To know what you're able to choose, right? So you'll know when like you mentioned, the people around you aren't showing up in the way that they should based on what you are giving, right? There isn't reciprocity. So you always have to do your kind of like your checks and balances and stuff like that, right? Mm-hmm. But surrendering to the divine plan, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Surrendering to God, however you want to call it or phrase it, is the most powerful thing that you can do.
Yeah.
And when you do that, the universe will reward you and bring more into your life. Mm-hmm. Control means limitation.
Yeah. Yes.
And we didn't come here to be limited, right?
Yes.
There's a lot of us who are sitting here are looking at other people's lives, especially with social media readily available, you know, which is the worst thing for us to do is to compare ourselves. But we see through these opportunities what's available to us, right?
Yeah.
And we look at that and say, damn, there's so much distance between that thing. But when your soul is calling you to do more, it'll show you these things to say like, hey, this love is available for you.
Yep.
This amount of money is available for you, or this level of access or whatever the thing is that you admire.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But in order to get there, you must surrender. You must surrender control and just allow things to flow and be as they should be, right? So surrender, I think people think is like, oh, I'm giving up control, I'm not doing that. Surrender is not inaction. You know what I'm saying? Surrendering means like you're going based on what you truly feel, what you feel called to do in this life, following your passions, opening your heart to others without the fear of being hurt. Part of the problem that we have, to be honest, when we the reason why we are afraid to open our heart to others is because obviously we're going to get hurt.
Fear.
But the reason why you get hurt is because you have expectations. You're giving because you want to receive something.
Exactly.
It's not unconditional. So you're setting yourself up from failure off jump, right?
Sure.
This is why, sorry, my accent's coming up. This is why.
No, it should.
Clearly, I'm getting
Well, you know mine. Go ahead.
Oh, shit, I lost my thought.
You're talking about we get comfortable, what's it called, and you're about expectations, right?
Like because expectation is receiving.
That's why we get disappointed and why we don't do those things.
You have expectations. You're not giving from unconditional love, right?
Yeah.
They always tell you that you should be giving from a full cup, not an empty one, right? Mm-hmm. But we are constantly looking for validation from others, so we're giving from an empty cup off rip.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then we feel sort of like disrespected, that we weren't supported, but like you're forcing yourself onto others, right?
Yeah.
And so we can get way deep into the weeds of this. So I'm going to stop there.
No, but I love that. Yeah. I love the points that you brought up. And you mentioned something in particular around like being in a space where you can actually receive the things that you're looking for. I know for me, I had to know me in order to even attract the partner that I have today. A past version of me would not have even been able to recognize or be in connection with the person that I'm with now.
So going back, as we are talking about father wounds, I want, it could be each of us, whichever, how do you mend with the expectation of either coping with the fact that the father or father figure that you have or had in your life may not have met the expectations that you have, since DJ was talking about expectations.
Can I go first?
Yeah, please. You sure can.
Thank you. Sorry, I'm just super excited about this question. So, one, I think we've just kind of discussed this. Know that that person was human and they didn't have the tools that they needed to really support you in the way. You don't come with a manual.
Humanize your parents.
You know what I'm saying? So humanize your parents, right? Accept that they are who they are based on their own experiences, their own trauma, just like you are.
Exactly.
You
know what I'm saying? So do that even though they don't do it for you, because I know that's what makes it a little hard on my end.
I can humanize
them, but it doesn't feel like it is reciprocated.
So that's where it comes with the expectation
that they also will give it to me.
Keep going.
And the facts are, it's like you're doing it for you, not for him.
Exactly.
Right? Like it's about, you're the hero of your own story. You know what I'm saying? He's just
repeat
a part
that
of it.
Again.
You're the hero. You're the hero of your own story. Everybody, I'm a supporting character in your story, and vice versa. You know what I'm saying? So you don't do things for other people. So if you did that, then again, it goes back to that validation piece again. You don't need anybody to validate you or your existence or what makes you happy. Focus on what you want for your life.
Yeah.
And when you do that, everything else
comes to you. It falls into place.
Yeah.
Fall into place.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, So basically start with forgiveness, right? Mm-hmm. Accepting that they are who they are.
Yep.
You don't need to change them, mm-hmm. right? Because truly you cannot change anybody else in this world. I don't care who it is.
I don't care.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-mm. The only thing you can do is mm-hmm. change yourself. And by mm-hmm. inherently doing that, if they make the choice to change, they'll meet you where they can.
Exactly.
You know what
exactly.
I'm saying? So let go of those expectations as well.
Let it go.
Yeah.
Focus on yourself. Understand that nothing outside of you is going to save you. Take accountability for yourself and your emotions. Mm-hmm. Right? And focus on love. Love, I know this shit is corny as hell.
No, it's not.
But it's the truth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love is the answer to everything, every issue and problem that we have. If we were to operate unconditional love, which means that you are showing yourself grace, you're showing yourself patience.
Yeah.
You give these things to yourself first. And then when your cup is full, what do?
You can give it to others. And you emphasize on the love within yourself. I think mm-hmm. people really struggle with that and look to love other people in order to fill that void. Yeah. And that's where the disconnect happens.
100%.
Like, I'm giving you the things that I really should be giving to me mm-hmm. and the other person just using it the hell up.
And then you're depleted. Mad. Yeah.
We all do that.
So what about the idea, like how do you approach that place when it comes to your dating history to the confessional as we're wrapping it up, around dating someone that is within my values instead of unconsciously or consciously attracting someone because I'm yearning for something?
You got to do your work. I think that's the thing, right? Like, mm-hmm. one, you find, you don't necessarily, in my own experience and then the things, the data that I've collected from working with people, mm-hmm. you're not necessarily searching for the person.
Yeah.
You got to do your own work so you can find yourself in spaces and places that the person is there. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that requires a lot mm-hmm. of self-reflection, mm-hmm. a lot of humanizing yourself, giving yourself grace, but not giving yourself grace to the point where it's like, well, I'm giving myself grace and that's it. You have to be really willing to put in the work. And I think people struggle with that because it is work. Mm-hmm.
It is. It's a lot of work.
It's constant work. It's work all the time.
All the time.
Even though I've acknowledged that I have my stuff with my parents, I'm in a healthy relationship now.
Yeah.
I'm constantly working on
how
that shows, how that kind of creeps up. I'm constantly looking at like, I'm feeling a little pricky. I'm feeling mm-hmm. a little upset about that. Mm-hmm. And checking in with myself, like, where's that coming from? Is that old history?
Yeah.
Okay, I can acknowledge, I can honor that this is present because I've lived life.
Exactly.
But I don't have to be living it like that.
Like that.
Because I'm so far removed.
That's definitely an important message. I think when I work with my clients and when I like work with myself around this, like you said, the work is hard. It's a tenacious you're getting at it nonstop.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it will show up. And sometimes it's a little bit more, I would say it has a bit of a bitter taste. Mm-hmm. The older you get, when you start to see the material.
Yeah. Right? It's like, why am I doing all this shit?
You're like, wait, why did I show up this way? And then you have a family dinner and you're like, oh, right.
This
is exactly why I showed up this way. But one of the things I say is like my clients and I think we struggle with the shame comes with acknowledging their own pain. Mm-hmm. Like the wounds
like this hurts
from
me.
Their parents like hurt them, especially their fathers, right?
Yeah.
Because fathers, oftentimes that wound will then make us feel like we need to be tough.
Yeah.
We need to be hard. We need mm-hmm. to be unfazed. And mm-hmm. I felt like I put a lot of effort growing up to try to be above it all.
Yeah.
To try to prove that like I was better than him, mm-hmm. that I was above his criticism, that mm-hmm. I was above the pain that he caused.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't helping me, even though I felt strong around being able to do that. And
because
I think
rejecting your reality.
Yes, but mm-hmm. also I think a lot of my clients felt like that. Because again, if I feel weak and fragile in this way, the way for me to combat that is to just get stronger.
Mm-hmm.
To just get harder to defeat, harder to bring down. And I think with every relationship where that wound was, you know, triggered or nicked, I kind of reinstilled, oh, well, I'm not strong enough yet.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. this thing is still impacting me. Or why would I let this happen to me this way, knowing this, mm-hmm.
that I know better.
Then that's part of what that wound kind of gets at, is that you start to believe that you should be above things mm-hmm. that weren't even your problem
to begin with.
Exactly.
Okay. Goodness. So wrapping it up around, you know, just one final thing I kind of want to add it based on what we all have been saying is around the fact that your wounds, in that you don't have to be package perfect to approach any relationship, mm-hmm. but right. understand that any relationship with a parental figure or a father figure should be based on one, that humanistic level of who they are, and also not carrying a sense of adjusting yourself.
Sure.
To kind of fit that.
Being willing to have acceptance.
Acceptance. All right.
Okay. So let's get into our listener letter. My 82-year-old Southern Baptist aunt sent me a 3-page letter expressing concerns over my lifestyle choices. Among the many wild claims, she said that she knew 2 other lesbians with daddy issues and asked if I was really being honest with myself. I mentioned the letter to my mom, her sister, and she admitted she wondered the same thing. My sister once joked that after a traumatic event with our father, we coped in opposite ways. She seeks male attention, and I don't want anything to do with men. Hilarious, isn't it? If trauma from men made people gay, there would be more lesbians. I don't know a single woman who hasn't experienced some hurt by a man that she trusts, and most of them are straight, and no one questions their sexuality because of it. I'm not gay because of a man. I'm gay because I am gay. Women are hot and women are incredible. Reducing my identity to trauma is belittling and absurd. What a messed up way for my loved ones to manage to center men in their theories of why I'm a lesbian.
All right. So I think it is that misconception around that people's sexuality is based on their childhood trauma or childhood upbringing. One does not attack.
There's no association.
There's no.
I just think that, you know,
around.
And if we want to look at it that way, perhaps we can look at heterosexuality in the same way.
Yeah.
Like some people are kind of, that is forced.
Yeah.
Or conditioned.
Yeah.
In some 100%. Ways.
Yeah. So it's just, I think it's just understanding that, so I'm with the listener around the fact that, yeah, you, kudos for you for not associating the fact that your experience with your father has nothing to do with who you choose to love.
Yeah.
And those are 2 separate entities. I think families get caught up in trying to understand because of we live in a heterosexual normative environment.
Yeah.
Therefore, when something is outside of that norm, there's a need to understand where did that come
sure,
from.
To make sense
specifically
of.
If you're coming from a religious background, of which that Southern Baptist or the Macro was like, oh shit, for me, like they automatically there's that thing around the fact that what you're doing is wrong. And I think it came from this. So it's the need to understand that, you know, their family is going through. And interestingly, how their siblings tend to question it, because it's just a cultural norm around normalizing who people choose to love,
sure.
whether it has nothing to do with like their sex or whoever. Love is just love, as DJ is talking about, like that unconditional love and love, and our innate nature to understand, does someone's upbringing in or nature have something to do with their choices that they make in life?
I think that's an interesting point too. And I also look at a lot of it is ignorance, like you said, like just having our parents or maybe different generations having like a specific idea of like what things look like, what mm-hmm. a family looks like, what relationships look like, what yeah. marriage looks like.
Yeah.
And so sometimes it's not even a place of like I'm malicious, but like you said, trying to make sense of.
Yeah.
And there is more. It's like a this constant dialectical tension with the intersectionality of being both like a Black woman, a Black gay woman. Those things, there are certain values, at least in my own personal experience, that conflict. Like the value that I have around community and connection, but also recognizing that I'm connected to people that are just lack knowledge about what a healthy same-sex relationship can look like.
I want to add the part that we also live in a patriarchal society where men are always associated with the conversation of like decision making when it comes to like women. When I'm thinking about like the question of, oh, you're gay, is it because you haven't found the right man?
Right.
Oh, you're this because you had this trauma. Like, it always, because of the patriarchy, it is always going to be connected to how a man is partisan or not. So I think that there's that piece of it. And she also brought up this notion of that, like, parents that have experienced trauma or honestly not up to par parenting can have that very split way of showing up where I am seeking the validation and acceptance and, you know, wanting to feel chosen and like picked by men. And then this aversion of I don't want to have anything to do with you because I see you as a violent, threatening individual. Right. Like, I think regardless of sexuality, that's a nice little, what do you call that, cross path? You know, that people will fall into.
Did you have any thoughts?
1,000% No, I completely agree. I think this is just a very old school way of looking at things that largely comes, you know, obviously you mentioned she was a Baptist, from religion, right? Like you said, there is a lot of patriarchal narratives that we've been under for a really long time. And we got to rebalance that, right?
Yeah.
And it's not to deny masculinity or the presence of men. We just had a great conversation about how important men are and how valued they are. But we've unfortunately come to a point in history where we have overdone and overstepped our bounds in masculine energy, right?
Yeah.
And let's be honest, that's within each of us,
male
and female, right? We're all under this same condition, right? And when we talk about, you know, masculine principles and feminine principles from a spiritual perspective, it is simply just energy, right? Mm-hmm. Masculine is the act of doing, light, you know?
Right.
Feminine is the act of receiving.
Right.
Right? Darkness.
Yeah.
Light and shadow, you know?
Yeah.
It all exists and it's all important, you know? So, again, inaction is a is considered like a feminine trait, right? The action, doing the thing is masculine. So again, it's all about cohesiveness and bringing it back together. So we've been overly on one side. I think in the last maybe like 10 or so years, we've really attacked
the masculine
presence and what that means,
right?
And almost to the point where we kind of beat it up almost a little too much. And now I think we're getting to the point where we're getting better into integration, which needs to happen. Like, we need to exist together because we are both important.
Okay, dialectic.
All right.
Because I'm like, we do often tend to live on those extremes. That is an important point to close on, that we want to just find some balance with being able to use both and there.
Also, real quick, you know, to, as I was thinking about the listener's letter, around the fact that sometimes when we grew up in a cult, in a family background, when there was trauma, which what I hear, like, all of them experienced trauma from the father. Sometimes it's easy to deflect from what the real issue is within the family dynamic.
Right. Who's talking to
that? It's easy to kind of focus on one thing. So what I'm hearing is that everybody had this experience with dad, but we don't want to
focus on
that a bad thing. So let's just focus on one thing. So I would say to the listener around, you know, call it out for what it is. And don't be so quick to kind of defend your sexuality, because that's a deflection around the real issue that I'm here. The family has some real issues that you guys still need to talk through and work through that you experienced with your father. And maybe your job is to hold them accountable to what's really going on and not what
what the distraction is.
Exactly.
And the sexuality is a distraction, yes, and not the root of the problem.
Responsibility to your community.
That's the medicine.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, we talk a lot. The word I keep hearing a lot is reflection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, we are all mirrors of each other.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
even these situations, even though grandma was, or whatever she was, auntie, what was she?
Auntie
was out of pocket.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? She's out of her lane, but there was medicine in that moment to say, like, okay, cool. Is there something within me where I do have issues with my dad? And it may not necessarily be in terms of my sexuality, but maybe in that same sex relationships, maybe I'm choosing certain reflections within that partner.
That's showing up. Exactly.
That's showing up like my father.
Exactly. And that will always happen. I don't know what people like that does to something.
But it doesn't matter
happen.
That the person it don't matter has where you go. Different, same exactly. sex, opposite sex.
Those traits will
if you don't
up,
deal with the real issues, a distraction.
100%.
So, in honor of Father's Day, Father's Month, and also it is Juneteenth, I want us to kind of like go around and like give kudos to the men or the people in our lives that we want to honor. I am stretching. That we want to honor. Because I have been and I am around a lot of great men.
Yeah.
This one over there included. So I do want to give props to the men that do show up and are show up very consistently, mm-hmm. but present and genuinely just want to love, care, and provide. And I don't mean financial or physical provision only, but emotionally just provide.
Yeah.
And my hubby being one of them. You know, he's a great girl dad and like my brother, all of them. And I'm surrounded by great men, so I definitely want to honor that.
I love that.
Yeah, shout out to them.
Yeah. I mean, I would say that like the young men in my life, for sure. My brother, cousins, I always am like very proud of the work that they've done and like really being in touch with their emotions. We have a lot of young boys. Like my generation was all girls, but there's a lot of boys now and they're all very doing in tune with their emotions and how they feel and speaking up. And I like to say that I've been a part of that too, like just encouraging them and holding the space for them. So I am wanting to acknowledge them for sure.
Thank you.
Beautiful. I want to shout out to all the fathers who are changing the narratives and in their children's lives, being present, being active, trying their best, giving the wisdom so that we can end this cycle of trauma and abandonment from our previous generation. So shout out to y'all. I want you guys to know as men that it's you are integral, regardless of what society is saying however you feel about yourself, or if maybe you even feel like your value isn't up to par based on how much money you make or what you're able to so-called provide. Understand that you're more than just a provider of monetary things, right? Yep. Your presence is important. Your love is important. You know, dive deep into yourself. Heal. There's a choice. You can choose to be a better man today.
Yes.
And not by anyone else's standards, but your own.
That part.
Right? There's this thing about manhood that we as men come up under and we feel like we have to meet these specific metrics in order to be considered a man. And that's bullshit.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Create your own identity based on who you are, based on your unconditional love for self.
Mm-hmm.
And this will then lead you to live a happy life, of which will then create the abundance and the providence that you are able to do and the protection that you are able to give to the others around you.
Okay. And also, one thing you always say is that men, you have this thing that you put on your story all the time. Men, you are enough.
Mm. Yeah. You are enough. It's important because, like, sorry, not to take this too far. I know we're wrapping up, but we don't get enough acknowledgement for the good men out there. There's a lot of focus on the not so great ones. There's a lot of attention there, you know, and unfortunately, the unsung heroes are the ones who are doing the good job, who are trying to do their best that they can, who are being honest and honorable.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another thing, like move with integrity.
Yeah.
Like
say it.
Anyways, I'm not this will be another podcast.
That's
a good one.
Right, that's
a good
another episode.
But I'll wrap up integrity. By saying a special thanks to the men in my life, my uncles. All of you have been great examples of what men could look like. You know, my stepfather, my biological dad, you know, still, even though we don't have the greatest closeness in terms of relationship. There's a lot of love there. And I appreciate you for what you've given in terms of lessons and allow me to become the man that I am today. Mm-hmm. Shout out to other significant people like your brother, mm-hmm. Franz. That's my big bro. He's a great example of, I think, of what a comprehensive man should be. And so, yeah, I love you fellas, man. Yeah. Y'all got it?
Yeah.
Love. Crockett.
Yeah.
For myself, I think that I have been exposed to like seeing how other men relate to their daughters, mm-hmm. to the other women in their life. And that's healing to see mm-hmm. a softness, a kindness, a warmth, and an availability, mm-hmm. right? So I want to give a shout out to the male counselors that I've mm-hmm. worked with. There's not too many of you guys, but you guys are doing a lot of great work. And you could tell that you are available. You can mm-hmm. tell that you are attuned and you're tapped into the needs of your clients, of, you know, your colleagues. I have a cousin, my second cousin, because it's my first cousin's child, but he is just like, his name's Sean. Like, he's very just like, when I'm around him, there's a certain level of peace and a certain mm-hmm. level of safety. And he's young. Like, mm-hmm. he's like, I would say maybe like a decade, my mm-hmm. Junior. Mm-hmm. But like, he just is so attentive and just gives you, like, he wants to know how you're feeling. He wants to know, you know, very, in the conversations, it's mm-hmm. very, what's the word I'm looking for?
Intentional,
like, rich. Like, it's very, like, a deep, there's a depth to it. It doesn't mm-hmm. feel forced or fake. Mm-hmm. And so for me, who leans to, like, whenever something doesn't feel authentic or feels mm-hmm. forced, I'm quick to dip out. I don't really play around with things mm-hmm. like that. And so it's very nice to be around men who, influence and make space
show
for
up
that.
In that way. And it's good to see young boys. You know, it's funny you said that, because my nephew embodies authenticity because he genuinely feels that he's impacted. But boys who are really learning to be boys and authentic selves because of the environment they're surrounded in.
Yeah.
So this was a really great.
It was rich. DJ's really trying to be a regular. Okay.
Yes.
I appreciate you guys having me. Honestly, this is an honor for me.
Yes. We love you. Thank you so much.
Yes.
So if you all want to write into us, we may read some of your letters on the show. You can reach us at couchchroniclestad@gmail.com. And we will see you next time.
Bye, fam.
Bye.